Blog Talk Radio.
Wisdom and Healing. I am your host, Rose, psychic medium, Rose Soulhurst, and along with the beautiful, of course, Vivian Aubin, and also Fiona Miller. We have a great show planned today. Our show is all about the paranormal. We have some great guests on today. So let's get this party with spirit started, okay? So I want to welcome on Fiona Miller, our co-host. Fiona, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the show today. And I think it's going to be an interesting show. So let's get going.
Yeah, it is all about the paranormal. It's also about, you know, Fiona, it's all about Illinois, and it's the most haunted little town in the U.S., and we have the caretakers of one of the most haunted hotels in Alton, and that's down in Dave. No, Nunnally. Boy, I'm just stuttering today. I don't know what my problem is. Excuse me. And they also have a great, great little shops in there, and just the atmosphere is absolutely a lot of fun to be there. They conduct the paranormal investigations there, and they have a lot of interesting stories, and you're going to love them, and I can't wait to talk to them about it. But before we actually have them on, I do want to give out the call-in number. So if you want to call in for a mini reading, or you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment, you can. And here's the number. It's 714-816-4628. I'll repeat it again. It's 714-816-4628. And you can if you could press 1, that'll let us know that you're wanting to ask a question, receive a mini reading, or make a comment. Also, you can chat with us live at psychictalk.net/live. That's us live. So, without further ado, let's welcome Donna and Dave on. So, Dave, are you there?
Hi, Rose. I'm here.
Awesome. Hi, Dave. Donna,
how are things going?
I'm sorry, what?
No, I said, how are things going?
Things are going great. I did the introduction there. I stuttered over my words, but I'm good. Okay, but we're going to work this out, right? So, Donna, I want to welcome Donna.
Hi, Rose. Hi, Fiona. Good morning, everybody.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us on the show, Rose.
Oh, honey, we love stuff like this. We love to talk about stuff like this. Paranormal, it's always a great topic to talk about. I mean, we're mediums and psychics, and we do that kind of work, but it's great, actually, to, to talk about the paranormal. A lot of people don't know how that works, so it's a great experience. So I'm going to let Dave talk a little bit about the history of Alton and kind of give everybody a real quick rundown on that, Dave.
Okay. Well, Alton is it's not a huge town. It's less than 30,000 people, and it's just across the river, the Mississippi River, from St. Louis, Missouri. So it's a very historic part of our country. You know, as you think back to high school history and you recall Lewis and Clark, this is where the expedition began from. So the big gateway in St. Louis, the arch, is sort of the gateway to the west, and this is where it all began for at least here in the United States. And so as St. Louis began to grow as sort of a vantage point to leave from the other side of the river, Alton grew as well. And at one point, Alton was a larger town than St. Louis. But the history here has not been kind. And over the years, whether it's flooding of the Mississippi, whether it was natural disasters, whether it was things like the Civil War, Illinois was a free state, part of the Union during the war. Missouri across the river was part of the Confederacy. And so what happened here, there was a huge Confederate prison just downtown. And the walls of that prison were made out of limestone, which was quarried right here in Alton. So you've kind of got a fusion of a lot of things going on, Rose. You've got the Mississippi River, the water, which can transform and carry energy. You've got limestone
right.
walls everywhere. And you know, limestone's a natural sort of conduit for energy as well.
Yeah,
well,
and you know, Dave, I grew up in Alton, so I actually lived in a house where they used some of that limestone to build the foundation of the house. And with all that history that goes on there, because there's a lot of, you know, Civil War and Underground Railroad and all of that in there, too. And so with that history, and it just soaks that up.
It does. And I mean, I didn't realize that your house had – I knew you grew up here, but I didn't realize that your house that you grew up in had the limestone. What happened after the Civil War concluded – that prison remained open for a while, and it was a state penitentiary. But by the end of the 19th century, the decision had been made to tear it down. And so what they did is bulldozed, tore down the walls, and ground all of it into limestone gravel. And basically, there was a huge pile of gravel here in Alton, and the citizens were invited to come and take what they needed. And they used it for foundation material underneath most of the buildings that were built in Alton from the turn of the 20th century, probably up through the 1940s and 50s, I suspect, that there was enough of it available. So the challenge is, when you had a prison and you had small cells that were no larger than, you know, 50 square feet, maybe 60 square feet, we're talking very small spaces, 4x8, 5x10, and you had three or four prisoners in those little cells, the first time one of them caught a sniffle or started coughing or started sneezing, one of them fell ill, they all fell ill. And I'm not saying this was the right way to deal with it, because it certainly wasn't, but it was a different time. They would load these, well, either dead or dying prisoners onto small little boats, and they would take them out into the Mississippi. And there's a little island out in the river called Smallpox Island. And those that had passed away were left there, and those that had yet to pass were left there, too, to meet their fate. So that energy, that death energy, the dying energy that was just rampant in that prison, when those walls were torn down and ground into gravel, that energy was spread throughout the community. It's underneath Mineral Springs. It's underneath most of the buildings downtown. And so for that reason, you know, Alton's haunted history really took off, you know, at the beginning of the 20th century, just because it was spread everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Many haunted houses and roads there. I know Hope Hollow is another one, you know, where they used to actually take the bodies from the prison up to the cemetery to bury them, and they would take them in wagons, and they would take multiple bodies, and as they're going up this hill, they would drop bodies in the woods. And those woods, actually, that's real close to the neighborhood I grew up in. Those woods were haunted, you know. So
yeah,
you have a lot of that haunted history there.
It is. It's an amazing place. And you know, when we get visitors that come through from all over the country, we even had a few folks last week from Australia that were in the Mineral Springs Hotel. Sometimes they've heard about the hauntings of the community and of the building in particular, and sometimes they haven't. But when they walk in, they can sense something is different. They sense that there's a difference in energy, a difference in their emotions when they're in the building. And sometimes they'll just go sit down on the couch and take a break for a little bit. And you'll see them out there, and you'll walk out and say, "Are you doing okay?" And, "Yeah, I just feel kind of tired. You know, what's the story with this building? It's really amazing, but it just feels kind of different in here." And we deal with that every day.
Yes, and tell us about the history of Mineral Springs, Dave.
Well, okay.
so that our listeners get an idea of what you're talking about, the kind of things that you're talking about.
Absolutely. So back at the beginning of the 20th century, there were two German immigrants, August and Hermann Luhr, and they had moved to St. Louis. There were a lot of German immigrants to St. Louis at this time. I mean, if you think about the Busch family, Anheuser-Busch, the beer company, Budweiser,
yes,
there's just a tremendous German influence in the region. And August and Hermann had moved to St. Louis with their wives, and they were butchers. They were meat packers. They worked exclusively with pork products, sausages. And so they stood up shop in St. Louis, but I think it was Herman's wife is actually the one that was very unhappy. I don't want to get the story wrong, so I'll put a disclaimer in there. But she hated St. Louis. So they looked for greener pastures, and this little town of Alton provided that for them. So they moved over to Alton and established their meat packing, their butcher shop here in Alton. And if you come to Alton today, there's a McDonald's on Broadway. I think it's in around the 500 or 600 block. Where that McDonald's sits today is where their butcher shop was. And they went about their business, and they would take their products. They would take them up the river road and store them in the caves. They would cut ice out of the river, and that was what was used to keep all the meat cool during the summertime. And, you know, it was probably not that effective. So a lot of salt, a lot of preservatives, and that's what they did. Well, around the turn of the century, the ability to make ice became a real possibility here. And so August Luhr started looking for a source of fresh water. And he owned the land where the Mineral Spring sits today. So he started drilling for a fresh water source, and he found it. But it wasn't the water he wanted. It was a very warm, sulfuric-smelling water. It was a mineral water. Well, if you look at American history around the turn of the 20th century, there was this great revival period for spas and hotels that were focused on mineral water treatments. You know, in those days, the Food and Drug Administration didn't exist. So people were led to believe these miraculous mineral waters, just like the ones in Hot Springs, Arkansas, or Eureka Springs, and Shilom Springs. I mean, there's a million little towns scattered throughout the country with the word springs in them. And people flock to those towns to sort of bathe in the curative powers of these mineral waters. Well, August Luhr was a pretty smart guy. And he said, you know what? Forget this meat business. I'm going to go into the hotel business. And in 1913, in October of 1913, he started construction on the Mineral Springs Hotel. 9 months later, that's all it took. This monolith, this huge building in Alton, was open for business in June of 1914. There are more than 100 rooms in the hotel. It was huge, and he spared no expense. Italian marble floors, plaster cornices that were carved with the most intricate designs you can imagine. They're still there. Some of them have collapsed over time. But many of the fancy rooms in the lobby, you can still look up and see all these wonderful things. The marble floors are still there. The building was built in sort of a Spanish revival style with tile roof and stucco outside. It's just gorgeous. And the hotel thrived.
Yeah.
It stayed open from 1914 until 1971. And we'll kind of come to this a little bit later probably. It featured two swimming pools, one of which is quite infamous now for being very haunted. To make a long, sad story as short as possible, the building was condemned in 1971. People stopped coming to the Mineral Springs Hotel in the 1950s. When the interstate system was developed and started being built during the Eisenhower administration, small little towns like Alton were bypassed by the state interstates, or by the federal interstate system, and people went elsewhere for vacations. By the 60s, it was kind of a flop house. In 71, it closed, and it stayed closed until 78. It was condemned. And it reopened in 1978 as an antique mall. And it's been through several owners over the last, 40 years now. And its current iteration It is home to us. It's Raining Zen. It's home to my dear friend Janet Kohler's Curiosity Museum, Wayne Hensley's Zen Zone Barbershop, and you know, a couple of other little boutique stores that Donna and I have that are in there. Indigo Moon and Mississippi Hippie are the names of those stores. And it's just a great little
place.
They are
wonderful, too. It is.
Yeah, the hotel rooms are closed, but... All of the hotel rooms are now closed off, but we do host tours and conduct investigations. But that's the short version of the history of the building.
Okay, so now, Dave, I want you to tell us some of the haunted history.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell us some of the haunted, just a few little things. You don't have to go into a lot. Just kind of what are the kind of things that you would, you know, experience if you were to go on an investigation at Mineral Springs? What are some of the things that you've experienced that stand out the most, you and Donna?
Well, the things that stand out the most for us are, I always will differentiate between historically documented hauntings and folklore hauntings, and we have both. You know, I think you were in the building one night, Rose, and wasn't your purse knocked out of your hand?
Yes, it was. Yeah,
was it
over
knocked by the
out
below?
Of my hand. No, it was when we were going down the stairs. We went down like two levels, and we were standing there, and remember the light was flickering, Dave, and you said that spirit always does that. So I felt it there. I felt the energy drop as we went down. But
yeah.
Right there, I could definitely feel that there was somebody watching us. And I was reaching in my purse because it got really dark because that light went out. And I was reaching in my purse to grab my flashlight or to grab my phone to use as a flashlight. And disembodied spirit smacked my purse out of my hand and everything went everywhere. I mean, they smacked it out of my hand. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, that staircase you were on, really one of the hot spots in the building. Let me tell you a few of the short stories really briefly about some of the hauntings that are well documented, because we have the obituaries and we have the suicide notes and we've got all the data we need to back these up. You know, over in the hotel bar, which is now, your listeners are going to say I'm crazy, it's actually our clothing store. It's called Mississippi Hippie. That's one of the most haunted parts of the building. And, you know, there are two stories about the hotel bar. One is the haunted mural, which is not a true story, and mural
right.
is not haunted at all, quite frankly. But Mr. Harwood, who killed himself in the hotel bar, I think it was 1918, shot himself in the chest with a revolver. He was a farm implement salesman who had hit some hard times, was very unhappy with his life, had stayed in the hotel the night before and checked out, went into the hotel bar to get a drink. Put a suicide note on the counter, put a note of all the names of the people he knew on the counter, and pulled out a revolver and shot himself. And my good friend Troy Taylor researched this and has got all of the documentation on this one, the suicide note photographs. We actually have those at the store on display. So the hotel bar is very haunted. Pearl Sands, for many years, no one really mentioned her last name, but you know, there's no reason not to mention it at this point. It's pretty well known. Pearl Sands committed suicide in the hotel room above my store in 1965. Sleeping pills. Some people want to tell you it was an accidental suicide. It depends on how you perceive accidents and, you know, could you accidentally take one pill extra than you should have, and why would you be taking more than one sleeping pill? So I think that's kind of open to interpretation what happened with Pearl, but
right.
she very much haunts that space. My goodness, Clarence down in the pool, the main pool, really well-documented death. He came to the hotel to take some swimming lessons and aggressively chose to dive in the water, hit his head on the bottom of the pool, and because the pool was full with this sort of sulfuric-smelling yellowish mineral water. When he hit his lungs filled with water. So he didn't float up to the surface. He was weighed down. And he actually laid on the bottom of the pool for a couple of hours before anyone even realized he was there. He'd snuck in to get to the
wow.
water before the lesson started. So, you know, those are documented ones, but there's dozens, if not maybe some would even suggest hundreds more hauntings. You know, when the building was closed from 71 to 78, it was a haven
yeah.
for homelessness and for drug behaviors and for, I'll just say it, prostitution, and some sort of darker behaviors occurred, particularly deep downstairs where your purse was knocked out of your hand. And that's a very, very active part of the building down there with a little bit, I'll say a little bit of a darker energy down there. And you felt
it.
Oh,
definitely. Yeah, the man that I seen down there that was following us around, the tall, dark man. Right?
Yep.
I remember him, and I remember the negative energy I felt from him. You could definitely feel it. And then, you know, also something else I also got down there, Dave, was, and you kind of back that up too, the kids used to get in there, and I think they used to do some pretty negative things in there. In other words, you know, like a little bit of Satanism maybe, right?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. For many, many years, Rose, the building, there was only one way in and one way out coming into the building for paranormal investigations. And when we moved Reigning Zen into Mineral Springs, one of the things Donna and I knew we had to do was create a space where everyone had access. We weren't going to play favorites with any paranormal group. We wanted everyone to come and see the building because that's important for the survival of Mineral Springs.
Yeah.
And as that's happened, more people have come out of the woodwork over the last couple of years to say, you know, I was here. I was here in the 70s. I was here in the early 80s. I broke into this building in 19. I'm making this the date up because I didn't really get a date from this gentleman. I got into the building in the 78 before it reopened. And I've heard stories from people who's, I have no reason to doubt them, told me they participated in a lot of ritual behavior in the building. It's kind of a folklore haunting, but a lot of very dark rituals occurred in that building because of the hauntings.
Yeah, I agree. Because I definitely felt, and you can really feel the energy, like you said earlier, when you walk into the lobby, when you walk in the front entrance, you definitely feel that shift of energy. It feels like a vortex as soon as you walk in the building. And then as you walk closer to the back of the building, and like you said, go down the steps and all that, go down into the basement, each level, you can definitely feel, I'd say when you go down two levels, that's when you really feel it. You really, it's like it knocks you in the face right there at the landing.
Yeah, just this weekend.
Especially if you're a sensitive medium like you are, and I also am, I can pick up on those things right away. You definitely feel that shift in energy.
Yeah, just this weekend, the Haunted America Conference was here in Alton, and Mineral Springs was the subject of an investigation Friday night and Saturday night. And so we were there for both of them, I think there's probably 40 or 50 people there on Saturday night that had come to investigate the building. So it was sort of a free roam investigation, and the people that were there had investigated before, so they were kind of free to go wherever they wanted to go in the building. And this group from Chicago pulled me aside and said, hey, where should we go? You're here all the time. Can you take us someplace maybe no one knows about? And I said, well, no. Well, yeah, maybe. Let me tell you some of my stories. And I started taking them around to where I know those vortexes that you just described exist. And as soon as we got to the very first one, one of the young ladies who was in the group, who was a medium, just was overcome with the energy. She was physically shaking. And she goes, oh, my, I can really feel this here. And I said, well, that's nothing. Let me take you downstairs where it's even stronger.
Dave?
Yes.
No, you just quit talking. I thought we lost you.
Oh, no, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay. Because if you are sensitive, you are, a medium, you're going to pick up on stuff like that. I know I've experienced quite a bit in that building, Even when you have you kind of figure, a lot of people came and went in that building. It was in its heyday. People loved it. People loved going there. But I feel the great energy in there too,
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, you and Donna just light that building up. If the listeners get a chance to go in there and do an investigation, you get a chance to visit Alton, Illinois, make sure you stop in at Mineral Springs and visit Donna and Dave, because their shops are amazing. They're amazing. And Dave's a tarot master and a psychic, and Donna is a, psychic, also medium and Reiki master teacher, right? So they do a lot of different is that correct, Donna?
Yes, that's correct, Rose. Thank you.
In the background, I'm going to give her a chance to talk. But, yeah, so they do a lot of different modalities, and their shop is great. I always say it's shop to anything you might need that's spiritual, and that's the truth, too. There's nowhere around like it. And so make sure you go in and visit them. And they're lots of fun. They have great energy. Okay, Fiona didn't hear me there. Fiona, does this sound better? She sent me a message on Facebook.
Yeah, and it was all of a sudden, I think, when you just shifted there, just so that you keep, so everybody can hear, because, again, I'm finding it very, very interesting, and I'm trying to keep, hang on to every word, Dave, you're really, really good, so that's awesome, but it's just, Rose keeps kind of fading in and out. And so because, Rose, you've been there, I think you bring in a lot of interesting aspects also. So I'm sitting on the edge of my chair here right now.
Well, we're going to get to the ghost story. So I want to hear, how about we ask Donna a few of them? Donna, what are your experiences in Mineral Springs, and what really stands out to you?
Well, I think one of my favorite ones is we all know, and this is probably a folklore haunting. And when I say folklore, maybe I didn't pass away at that location, but when I was having a grand time, maybe I was swimming in the pool or making some new friends when I was a young girl. So there is a young energy there, and she has been named Cassandra. And a lot of folks, when they reach out to her, they feel her or see her as a pink orb in the pool. And I know orbs are questionable, but this one changes the directions like crazy. So I'm a believer, and she's just a very sweet young energy. So when Dave and I first moved in the Mineral Springs Hotel, everything was a big mess and lots of stuff to be moved around, and everything was very dusty. And Dave and I came in one morning, and in the center, Dave and I only had a key at that time, so in the center of the room that we were renting was a big C. There were no footprints or anything else leading up to that. So, encounter with Cassandra first without really understanding that's what we were doing.
Just written on the floor in the dust, a big C.
No feet prints or anything around that. So, we're like, okay. And then as we began to move things around, and Dave got his toolbox out to fix this or hang a picture here or there, I started finding little pink agates. Just real small agates, and I would find them in the corner of the sunroom. And that's where the ladies used to go and have tea in the Mineral Springs. So when you're in there, the sunroom is actually the place where the ladies had the tea, and where our Zen shop is now is the lobby where folks would wait for guests. So I would find those. And then, I would also leave like a piece of paper and a pencil, but I never got any activity with that. So every day I would find them, I'd pick them back up and, put them in their spot. And then I would come back in the next day and they would be there. And then I didn't find them for a long time. So I figured maybe she got bored with us or used to us. And then I would find them in the oddest spots. I'd find them behind my coffee pot. And then Dave would start finding them in his toolbox.
Under the rug.
And one day, and I'm an old farm girl, so I got bad knees. So one day I was getting some gum out of the gum machine. So, you know, I'm telling you the good and the bad on me. And I dropped a gum ball and it rolled under one of the trunks that we have. And it had been a long day. And I said, you know, I'll just get it tomorrow. And, you know, so I left. And when I came back the next day, there was a small rug in the hallway. And smack dab in the center of the rug, no matter which direction you were looking at it, was the gum ball. So I like to think that Kathy got down there for me and took that out and put it right in the center of the rug to save my knees. So ever since then, she's my favorite.
Well, I could see why. That's an amazing story. I mean, what do you think the significance was with the agate? I mean, I know she was maybe leaving you gifts. Is that what she was doing, or just getting your attention? Or was she, you know, do you think there's a significance to that?
I think that there's also another aspect to Kathy, is that she loves to play with marbles. And when Dave and I investigate down in the pool, so maybe the agates were as close to marbles as we had at the time. So when we investigate down in the pool, I've also came in contact with another child spirit, and there is a photographer in the building. So, and I love kids. Dogs and kids, that's, you know, that's my Achilles heel, anything, and it's all them, you know. So I was standing there watching this group of little soccer players come in to get their picture taken, and they were running, and I was just standing there thinking, gosh, how cute are they? And then down the hallway on the backside of where the clothing shop is now, the bar of the hotel, I saw a young, smaller shadow just run as fast as they could down that hallway to try to keep up with the kids. And so I went and took some of the ghost gear because, you know, being in Mineral Springs, you have to have that at your disposal. So I went down there, and on our ovulus, I got the words Mason and then crayons. So I like to think that the little boy spirit that Kathy plays with is Mason, and that he likes crayons and he likes marbles. And I also think he is a curious little energy. So sometimes when you go to the back half of the hotel where the facilities are for the gentlemen and the ladies, there's just like a little energy, like you feel like there's a little prankster, tomfoolery kind of energy that kind of hangs out there.
So I know. I love it. You can definitely feel, I mean, all the energies there. When there's so many different ones, you know, that you can feel the influx of people going in and out, if that makes any sense. I when I'm there, I know I can feel spirit all the time, in and out, in and out, in and out. Like it's very active. It's very active, you know.
I think there are a lot of vortexes in that building. Dave and I have encountered one upstairs. It was like the master caretaker apartment, but it's open for investigations, and it's no longer a rentable apartment. But that's up on second floor.
What's below it, Donna? What's below it?
Below that one is the sub-basement or the bottling company, or it used to also be the pork slaughterhouse is down below it, and I believe there is a vortex in there as well.
Yeah.
As well as
yeah,
in the ballroom.
Back in the corner. Yeah, back in the corner. I felt
exactly.
That. Yeah, I felt that when I was down there. Also, the reason I asked is I know when you come in the front of the building and, you know, where Mississippi Hippie is, you know, that little hallway in between that and that right there I got a lot of energy with, too, last time I was there. There was a lot of energy there.
That was the night we did an investigation with you, and you had brought some of your that was for one of the psychic fairs we did last year, where you brought a lot of your medium and psychic friends with us, and you and I were walking around, and we weren't talking until we experienced it, and then we shared. And I think there's a little bit of dark energy there in that hallway, too. You're absolutely right.
I agree. Oh, my goodness. I agree. Right to the entrance of that one room right there. Yeah.
And now that we're talking about how the layers of the building are stacked right above that, most recently Dave shared, and, you know, we keep the folks name close to our chest, but this person shared that they were doing ritual work, and that is above that hallway as well.
Yeah, it's right over the top of that.
Oh, so they opened something there.
Yeah.
Honestly. But, you know, and the thing is that our listeners need to know, too, is you guys have a lot of light within you, so the negativity doesn't really affect you, right? So it's all in the way we think and the boundaries that we set, and I think the listeners need to know that, right, that you are safe going through someplace like this. Right, it's all in the way that you present it. It's all in the way that you protect yourself, you know,
and
the way you see things, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, when we hire folks, usually some of the hires that we have, most all, are folks who shop in the shop who already understand the paranormal. So we always teach them to, you know, protect themselves, ground themselves to the Mother Earth's energy, and surround themselves with a God energy, whatever God looks like to them, because as then we coexist. And so we teach them that. So, and we also teach that to people before they go on investigations in the building. A lot of folks
right.
say, hey,
that's
you know,
beautiful
who's
that
here?
You do that. Yeah,
yeah
that's
they,
beautiful
you know,
that you do
me.
That because a lot of people don't. And that's
right.
important. Yeah.
And they always ask who's here, and I always say you should follow that upon before you start your investigation, only allow things to come through for my greater good.
Exactly.
And you know, there has to be dark to appreciate light, and there has to be light to understand what darkness feels like.
On the whole,
exactly.
though, for the building, you know, people – a lot of people get very fascinated by, like, malevolent spirits because that's what they've been led to believe by watching television shows and watching movies. And, you know, spirits and hauntings are always negative. And that's just simply not accurate at all. The vast majority of
the
No,
that's a very low percentage.
Exactly.
That's a
very
low percentage. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most of the hauntings in Mineral Springs, I mean, there's residual hauntings, which just sort of happen every day, same time, same place. There's intelligent hauntings that respond to us and answer questions. We've captured, you know, 30-second-long EVP, electronic voice phenomena conversations. If you watch the TV shows, you know, you'll see, you know, when people are recording things and they play it back later, they hear words. That's an EVP. And we've got good 30-35 second conversations between a mother and a daughter. We've gotten all kinds of strange things, full-bodied apparitions captured on camera, disembodied voices recorded on recording gear, orb activity, mist activity. And on the whole, I would say maybe 1 out of 100, it may be less frequent than that, even give a perception of being malevolent. Occasionally, you capture some recordings, and there's some unpleasant language in it, but
that could just be somebody salty, and
yeah.
that's just how they are.
Well,
I
yeah.
think that's just
scare
how they are in life.
It's scare tactics, right?
That's all it is.
But go ahead, Dave.
But you know the most recent thing that happened to me was. Last night I stayed in work late because I had to get some inventory out in the shop. And if there was anything dark in the hotel, I wouldn't be there at 2:30 in the morning by myself. I'll just tell you that right now. People always
right.
say, do ghosts scare you? And I say, well, it's like going for a walk in the woods. You know, you're going to see a snake, but when you see it, you still scream, you know, or it startles you.
It's a good way of putting it, but yeah.
So I was there last night. And it's at 10:30 it started, and I sent Dave a text message, and you feel people vibrate different than you, especially when they've crossed over to, you know, to the other side, and you just
yeah.
feel. And, you know, I said, you know, I got to get some stuff done tonight. I talked to him just like I could see him right in front of me. It's like, I got to get some stuff done tonight. I don't have time. But I also like to think that the energy is over in that clothing shop, which is where I was last night, that when you start moving things around or changing the environment, that it stirs up the spirits a little bit.
Yeah.
And like Dave had shared earlier that the gentleman who at the low point in his life had committed suicide in the bar area there, that I have one of my employees who manages the clothing shop, and I know she won't mind. Her name's Jan. She's very, very sweet that I shared her name. So that's Jan. She manages the clothing shop, does a great job. And she kept saying for a while, Donna, I wish I could see something or I wish I could feel something. And I said, just give it time. And so we were in there hanging some clothes up, and she looked at me, and I looked in the hall, and she finally got to see her first apparition. And then being a medium that I am, I heard this whisper in my ear that says, will you please release me? So anytime a spirit whispers to me that they want to go to another place,
help
I'm
them cross
glad
over.
That,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, that was,
good for
I was
you,
glad
Donna.
For Jan that she got to experience something, but it's also very bittersweet that someone maybe had felt they were trapped, and by us moving some things around, and encourage them that it was time for them to move on.
That's beautiful, though. You know, and that's, you know, every time you go in some place that is extremely haunted like that, you want to help the spirits cross over. But I understand a lot of people are at home with just, you know, allowing them to be there, and they're coming to you and they're asking. Then you need to cross them over, definitely. That's beautiful that you did that. You know,
absolutely.
And Jan, I think that's hilarious about Jan. And you throw something out to the spirit world, you're definitely going to get it back, okay?
that's the thing.
If you throw it out there, you're going to get it back. I had a friend once that did a, he was doing an investigation, and you know he challenged the spirit. He said, well, you know, if you're really here, you're, you know, going to do something. And then all of a sudden it screamed in his ear and scared him to death. But it's like, you know, you don't challenge that, you know, because you're going to get it anyway. And most of the time, a lot of the communication you get, you know, paranormally is very subtle. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, it's not loud and booming and banging like a lot of people think a lot of the times. It's more quiet. But sometimes it is like slapping your purse out of your hand or, you know, doing something loud and obnoxious like that. But it's just to get your attention most of the time. But I do agree that it's just, you know, most of the time with what Dave said, most of the time it's 95%, I'm going to say 98% of the time, it is positive energy and not negative.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I just want to add one other story. You asked, and here they come. Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. That's what we're here for.
And our friend Chris Sutton, he's part of the CC West Medicine Circle, and they always, Chris and his group always come to help us out during the Small Town Big World celebration, and we have the we host like the Native American culture section of that. So we bring our horse up there, and Chris and his friends, they come and do drumming. But Chris, who also goes by Coyote Chris,
right? I know Chris.
He brought his drum one night, and we were downstairs in the sub basement, the old bottling company. And he was drumming and singing a song. And we got a lot of Native activity, which, you know, we believe is tied to the land. They used to be there and hide in the bush.
Definitely.
Which is also part of the Plantagenet culture. And so we were out in the hallway where we always get, like, the K2 meter. So we probably had a good two-minute K2 session with a medicine woman. And then we also brought out the ovulus, which generates the energy into words from the spirit. And we were getting that we were communicating with a medicine woman, and she wanted to go home and help somebody. And so people started looking around, and, you know, Chris jumped in because he understands the culture. And he said, you know, we're not doing that, you know, and then we ended the session. But she was pretty adamant that she wanted to go home and help somebody. But a lot of the Native energy tied to the land, it's beautiful, so it's not always so scary.
Well, you know, all around Alton, you have that Native American. Well, you have the Civil War, then you have the Native American history, and then you have the Underground Railroad. And I know from my experience, I have experienced the Native American part of it and the Civil War part of it. So, I mean, growing up in Alton, I experienced it, and I know I've lived past lives there in Alton. I have physical proof, actually. So it's pretty fascinating to me. I love my hometown. I love the little town of Alton. And I know once I seen a Native American right there in McPike, you know, in the woods, walking through the woods. Sharon Lukey that runs it, actually owns the house, we were walking through the gardens in the back, and we stumbled upon, actually, that's where we found the actual crypts. There was a couple children-sized crypts back there. But I'd seen some Native Americans back there in the woods. And the funny thing about it is I used to play in them woods as a kid, you know, in the backyard.
Whether it's McPike or the Unitarian Church or,
exactly,
or Mineral or the Enos House or the Confederate Memorial, I mean, you really can't throw a stone in Alton without hitting a location that is haunted. And it's not just because one person says it's haunted. It's because dozens or hundreds of people have had similar like experiences in those locations. And there's just something to it.
It is, like you said, Dave. It's the quartz crystal, and it's also the water, you know, and all the blood that was spilled there, all the things that happened. I mean, things that, you know, civil war and the prison and the bad conditions there, and you know, just everything. I mean, the Underground Railroad, and you know, it's an amazing, amazing place to experience. That's for sure, and it is such a And the great thing about Alton just won. Can you tell us about the award it just won?
A little bit. So every year, there's a company called Deluxe, and they specialize in small business and marketing and small business planning. And they're really, really clever folks. What they do is they have small communities compete against each other, and businesses explain why they are such a great location for small business. And so we competed against, I remember the word 30,000 other small communities throughout the United States. And we were the 2018 recipients of the Small Business Revolution Award. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. They selected a bunch of local businesses, and they each received some funding to help improve their business, whether it's signage or marketing and so forth. But they also gave an awful lot of money to the community. And so what you see now in Alton are some street lights going up and some other improvements to
some of the little pocket parks are having flowers and shrubs planted in them now to beautify the areas.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a renaissance for Alton, and we're really tickled pink about it. And the great thing about it is the way we won the award was that folks in the community emailed in their votes every day, which meant not
I
only
was
did
one
people
of those.
In Alton, yeah, people in Alton and people in the surrounding communities actually had to actively participate in us winning it. So it required some dedication by folks who live here to say, I'm going to take 10 minutes out of my day every day to go online and vote and make a difference in the community. And the community came together in a way that they haven't done in a very long time. So it's very, very good.
And I want to give credit where credit's due. And I believe her name is Lauren that owns the Old Bakery Beer Company. Her and some of her staff actually wrote letters and emails, and they are the ones who got the initial attention for Alton to be on the map, to get us in the game, to be one of the, you know, I think we were like one of the final 10, then one of the final 5, and then we won. But, you know, Old Bakery, they have super good food, so kind. They host a lot of events. They also support Alton like crazy. So, you know, they're the ones that help there with that, and they continue to do it every chance they get.
It's a wonderful little town, and I remember the first time I stepped into Alton, I remember feeling like I stepped back in time, and it's so charming, and that whole area, the whole river road, the whole, you know, ride, taking that cruise up to Grafton and up the river road, you know, it's just, it's the energy is wonderful. you know. So I recommend everybody go visit it.
So I want to ask Fiona if she had any questions. She's been awful quiet back there.
Well, I'm just going, we did, well, there's a question that's in the chat room here, and it said, so really they were wondering, how did you guys kind of start or get, you know, started to be like ghost hunters? I mean, what was your
good
interest
question
that led you down this road?
Well, so it's a very interesting question, and it's hard to capture combined 70 years of history in a 30-second answer, but I'm going to do my best. Donna and I have known each other forever, and not just this life, but previous lives as well. And that's probably a topic for another show. But we've known each other forever, and it's an amazing relationship that we've had. When we moved, I was in the military for many, many years, more than 20 years. And as we moved to Memphis, Tennessee, there was a small little town there that I had been assigned to just outside of Memphis. And the land there was Native American land. And we had horrific experiences in this house that we lived in. Make a long story short, one of our neighbors later admitted that her father had owned the land, and the property where our house had been built had been the site of a barn where some unkind behaviors had occurred towards children. I think that's the nicest way I can say that. And the experience I had in the house was traumatic. I would be overcome with energy. I would start shaking. I would actually convulse and not remember where I was. Really high energy fits of rage. Didn't know anything that was going on. Don't remember it to this day. We called in some professionals to give us a hand with the property, and they came in and investigated, and they made some very troubling recordings of voices that knew some very personal things about my family, family nicknames that had not been uttered in 40 and 50 years. And so it was a very, very dark energy, obviously related to the behaviors that happened on the land. And once we were confronted with the evidence, Don and I just had to look at each other. And she had studied at the Edgar Cayce Institute in Virginia Beach. I had dabbled in studied and always been fascinated by these kinds of things. But we never really acknowledged those to each other because,
right,
you know, being different, being different.
And back then, we couldn't – I always say thank God for the millennials that make spirituality cool, you know. But back then, we had to be mindful who we shared things with, so we weren't viewed as, you know, out there.
And I was still on active duty at that time in the military, and it's not like I was going to go into my office wearing my uniform and say, you know, I'm being tormented by ghosts and spirits at home. They would have said, you need to go see some professional help right away, without knowing the situation. So that's sort of the genesis behind it, and you know that physical experiences that we have that occurred was in 2009. We came to Illinois in 2014 for my last tour in the military, and we settled in Alton. Now it's an hour away from where I worked, and we looked for property, we looked for homes down near that base, but we kept getting drawn to Alton for whatever reason. And it doesn't make economic sense, but we settled here, and I would drive an hour each way to work when there was much more affordable property, much more selection down there. We just felt like this is where we had to be, and that's what drove us here.
Wow, that's very interesting. That's very, very interesting. It's almost like you were led to be there, so that's really, really exciting. It's fascinating. As I said, I could just sit here and listen to you talk. It's just,
yeah,
I'm
just no shortage of that on this end from either of us.
That's for sure. I can attest to that. Yes.
Yeah. you know, it's interesting. Yes. Like Rose is even talking about feeling the energy, and there is places I've never experienced anything quite like you guys have. But of course, I've picked up energy being in different areas. You can feel, you know, stronger energies, but I never really have gotten into it until I think really, you know, I kind of met Rose and she started to talk to me more about it and even understanding. And I'm in a few groups now that actually they do this stuff, and I'm kind of going, whoa. So it's opened my eyes, and I'm always interested in hearing a lot more. So, yeah.
Well, you know, energy never goes away. It just changes form. So, you know, and the moon and the stars and the heavens and Mother Earth, and we're all connected. People share that, you know, the moon controls the tides in the ocean. And
true.
Dave's my fat guy. How much water are we as people, you know? So,
about two-thirds
right,
water.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so there's no way that we cannot be affected by moons and moon cycles and things like that. But leading back to the native roots, you know, we always used to plant the crops and breed the horses. And I have a short haircut, so I get my haircut when the moon energy is waning. So I don't have to get a haircut so often.
Wow.
So
I actually do it the opposite way, so it grows a little more. But yeah, well, you're right, Donna. We are connected to all of that. Fiona, there was something you were going to say. Honey, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no, it's just this. We've got somebody in the chat room just saying, so the question is, so if somebody got something wrong in their house, you can tell if it is female or male, or can somebody send ghosts, or is it a lost soul? This is kind of an action-packed question here.
Right. That has a lot of answers to it.
There's a lot to unpack in that. We do. I mean, we host investigations of mineral springs, and we also have investigated other people's homes. Donna and I, because we smudge and sage and ritually cleanse mineral springs a couple of times a week, using blessings, using crystals, using sage. You know, it was not necessarily something that we intended to get involved with, but we do travel to people's homes in the region as far north as Chicago and as far south as Tennessee and help people out with their property. So the question was, can you tell whether a spirit in a home is masculine or feminine?
Right.
I hate giving you the graduate school answer. It depends. If the spirit wants to identify itself as masculine or feminine, it can, and it will. We have a haunting in Mineral Springs, a spiritual energy in Mineral Springs, down in a hallway near the sub-basement where Rose was talking about having her purse knocked out of her hand. That spirit is neither masculine nor feminine. I'm not going to say it's a eunuch, because that's not what it is, but it doesn't have a gender. It's just there.
Right.
The other part of the question was, can spirits be sent places?
We can't send them on purpose. We can open portals and ask them if they'd like to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if they cause folks trouble, then, you know, I always let them know that before I close the portal, that if they don't choose to leave, that I'm going to ask the angels to escort them to a place on the property where they can still stay, but then they can't. I ask so they don't cause problems for the family anymore.
There's another component to that question, though, and it's about spiritual energy. It's not that they can be sent places, but they can certainly be brought into places. And that's something that we deal with in Mineral Springs all the time. A number of less – I'm trying to think of the nicest way to say this. Some of the more unorthodox groups that would investigate – would open up seances down in the swimming pool to bring energy to the pool and to invite spirits to come and interact. The challenge with doing that is when it happens and you do bring in spirits and you get very overwhelmed very quickly because you got exactly what you asked for, and you don't close that seance down and send those spirits back to where they came from, then they're stuck there and they're not going anywhere. And so Can spirits be sent to homes? No, but can people invite them into their homes? They absolutely do, and sometimes they do it unintentionally.
Yes.
Wow.
They do.
Oh.
Yes,
well, I never
do very much so.
I never really looked at it. That's very interesting. Thank you for stating that. That's extremely interesting. So I know we do have a couple of callers that have questions. So can I go
sure.
to the callers? All right. So just
sure.
hang on. So area code 314, you're live. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, who's calling?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello. Hello, Rose.
And what's
hello,
your...
Dave. Hello, Donna.
Hi there.
And
it's
who...
Marietta.
Oh, it's me. She
it's
knows.
It's Marietta.
Voice. I recognize
the voice. Well, I more have a statement than a question. I've been there, okay, and everything they're saying, Donna and Dave are amazing people. That it's the hallway that goes to the bathroom. Now that is where I have a problem with. I'm called gray entities or shadows, whatever. And Rose knows this. I will not walk in that bathroom by myself.
No,
and,
I have to go with her every time.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And we're in the last experience, which I was there when, and Rose is wonderful. She has classes there. She had law of attraction. That night, there was a lot of activity, okay? And it wasn't harmful, okay, but somebody kept grabbing my arm, okay? It was my left arm, and I kept looking around, and because I had my back towards Rose, and I thought she was standing behind me, and I'd look, and I was like, she's over there. And so I finally moved my arm, you know, and there is definitely, it's a wonderful place to visit, and there is definitely, like you're saying, all kinds of energy, you know. And I felt other things, but this was my last experience that I had, and which all I did is move my arm, you know. It wasn't rough,
and that
you know,
was in
but
that
it, you
hallway
know.
Right by, that was in the hallway.
No, this
right
is while we're
staff.
Sitting there in that room.
Oh,
yeah.
in the room. Okay.
In the print
yes.
room.
Yes. I was sitting there at the
yes.
table, and I thought Rose kept coming up and touching my arm. And it was like somebody just literally physically grabbed, you know, my arm, and it wasn't rough. So,
no.
You know, I mean, they weren't trying to, I think they're trying to get my attention, you know.
The crystal,
if I had to,
the crystal room. Well, the crystal room is a place where we have a lot of residual hauntings. And I will tell you guys, I mean, quite frankly, the crystal room is pretty dormant until about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Now, Rose's classes start around 7 or 7:30.
Yeah.
So
yep.
about an hour
yep.
into her class is when the activity in the crystal room is going to start. And it will continue in
yep.
there until right around midnight or so, but it gets very active. And that's because that was one of the social centers of the hotel when it was open. And that's when the activities would take place that generated so much energy. If you were staying in the hotel and you wanted to meet someone, or perhaps you were in the hotel for
well,
you know,
that's
less
what they're trying to do,
reasons.
Trying to meet me.
Yeah,
that's the dining room.
That's the dining room, and that was time to be single and mingle, and that's what's going on in there.
Oh, Marietta's got a boyfriend.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, Lord. And the woman, you remember, and she's the one, and she kept seeing me, and I turned around, and I was looking for Rose, because I thought, honestly, because I had my back towards her, and I, you know, I thought she was touching me. And then I just look around, you know, and then she's like, she's like looking at me. I'm going, somebody's touched my arm, you know. And you know what that woman, and you know who I'm talking about, the one that was riding, Rose, she goes, was it
yes.
sexual? That's what she said. And I thought, what? And I was like, no. And I just, yeah, I couldn't believe she said that to me. And I was like, what? You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
We haven't.
And she just, no, whoever was just, yeah. Touch me, it like just came up and just like it was like somebody just barely come up and squeeze your forearm, you know, not too
yes.
hard, you know. And I finally moved my arm. I was like, okay.
Well, it was just their way of communicating with a single woman,
right.
obviously.
Right?
I know when you said that, I was like, oh, dear Jesus, yes, I know that's true. That was, I was like, oh wow, oh wow. So I was
that's
in the
interesting,
area.
Dave. I didn't know that
it
the
was?
History of. Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, and that makes sense because usually the classes do,
you know, they start around 6:30 and they last till about 9, 10, right? So I know that you, like you said, Dave, it starts happening around 8 o'clock. That would make perfect sense because it falls right in that time. You
right.
can definitely feel the energy in there.
Oh, yeah.
But Rose does, yeah. Rose does a lot of classes in partnership with us at the Zen Shop. And she's amazing, you know. She has a huge following, and she's a, and now I'm being very personal, but the first time I met Rose, I fell in love with her. I think you were with her too, Marietta.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. there's just something about her. I felt like I had known her all along, and just so comfortable and so knowledgeable. And I'm going to let the cat out of the bag for you, Rose, but Rose is also working on a 3 or 4 part mediumship.
Yeah,
kind of a small conference seminar thing for us, and everybody's really excited about that. And it's going to be in the Crystal Room where most all of the classes are taught. But when you get energy like Rose and all these other folks who are just beautiful spirits who are light and want to learn and want to help, it can't help but manifest a great ball of light for other energies to be attracted to. And I challenge you guys next time if you take classes there, like Dave said, around 8:30 or 9 o'clock, watch in the hallway because it has been seen by several people, myself included, Coyote Chris, a couple of our friends, Jeannie and Dale, who see a lady and they see a white gown go walking right past that door. I mean, we'll stop classes and start giggling and stare at each other. And it happens. Then they'll also hear high-heeled shoes going at a very fast pace as well. Down the hallway, so.
Uh-huh.
Is that
the one to the bathroom?
No, this is the Crystal Room. And as soon as you walk out, Wayne's Barber Shop is right across the hall from it.
Okay.
Right there in the hallway. Yeah, right there in the hallway.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have heard the footsteps. I have heard that before.
Yeah.
And now, Donna, that brings me to something I wanted to ask you. Now, is it true that there was a lavender lady? That's a lavender lady, right? Or is it
Jasmine lady.
Jasmine lady. I always get it mixed up.
Yeah.
So the Jasmine lady, there is a difference of opinion on the Jasmine lady. Is there any historical record of a lady falling to her death on the staircase? And the background for this is, the story as it's told is this woman was staying in the hotel with her husband. He was a traveling salesman. Now, she was very amorous. So while he was out selling whatever it was he was selling, she began to have these very heated, exciting affairs with the hotel staff. And so he came home one day, came back to the hotel, and caught her in bed with one of the hotel employees. And a great fight ensued. It spilled out into the hallway. He chased her to the top of the stairs. They were fighting. She either fell or was pushed to her death. All of the elements you need for a great ghost story, right?
Right.
The problem is if she had fallen to her death, odds are somebody would have called the cops, and there would be at least a police report. Now,
This
would have been back in the 30s. Could it have been that someone had fallen? And I sound like, you know, the Ancient Aliens TV show. Could it have been? And I don't mean to sound that way. You know, but could it have been that she fell to her death and it was covered up? That's possible. The challenge is, and her name is Mary, by the way, we've recorded her. And other groups, a lot of different paranormal groups, have very, very moving experiences on that staircase. I had a group in from Birmingham, Alabama, and they recorded two men upstairs in the room where we think Mary was having this affair. One man said, "You've got 7 seconds." The other man screams, "Mary." The first man says, "I'll have to edit this for purposes of this broadcast. Get the out." It's one of those recordings that has a lot of cursing in it. But I've listened to it and I've heard it, and I've also captured recordings too. So is there a historical documented event that would have led to the Jasmine lady to marry? There's not. Is she real? Yeah, because Donna and I can both attest we have felt her energy, we have felt her touch, we have heard her voice, we've captured pictures of somebody standing on that staircase.
I see a lady in like a blue and a white dress.
Yeah.
Sometimes there, and also she is very amorous. You know, back in the old days when the Southern Belles would be escorted around the property, they'd hang on to the gentleman's forearm. And a lot of the guys that come and investigate, the hair on their arms stand up, and she likes to be escorted, and she's whispered her name. I agree with Dave. I think there's probably a little bit of a residual going on there, because when you get to the top of that staircase and you walk around, it's like a horseshoe, so when you walk around to the other door, if you stand there a few moments, you almost feel like somebody runs through you, and it's a panic feeling that you get, and that happens every single time, that same type of feeling for me, like there's a fear and a panic, and it's caught in that loop, I think.
I felt that too when Dave took me up into that one room where he said that there was at one point they believed the mob was up in that room, the one room. And then I said to you, remember I said there was a woman, there's a woman in here and she feels like she's trapped and she's crying. And I remember I was telling you that, Dave, and you said, they held women here. They held them for, you say prostitution purposes or something like that. So that made total sense to me.
It's interesting
total
because
sense to me. That's exactly with what I was feeling.
Yeah, like mob activity, mafia activity, you know, that's not going to be documented. I mean, you know, unless there was like a major arrest. But you have to put everything in context. And Alton is a river town, and there's always been riverboat gambling. Well, not always, but, you know, since that hotel has been there, there's been riverboat gambling. And so when there's gambling, and I don't like to paint with a broad brush, but when there's gambling, there's other things that come along with gambling. And so for many, many years, people have suspected that back corner of the hotel would have been the ideal place where folks had kept an eye on the riverboat gambling. Most of the women that go into that room get this incredibly oppressive energy over the top of them, that they're being pushed down or held down or dragged down. And it's not, you know, people have suggested, you know, this has got to be something where darker energy existed during the day. And what we've come to discover as we've investigated in there is it seems to be a room, perhaps it was used for prostitution. I mean, you know, it's a hotel. You know, people didn't necessarily take road trips in the 1920s. That wasn't, you know, vacationing. They did come to the Mineral Springs for vacation, but the many, many, many of the stories involving the spirits of Mineral Springs revolve around amorous affairs. That would have occurred in hotels, whether it's the Jasmine lady, whether it's the gentleman down in the pool who was hitting on women and his wife caught him and took off her shoe and hit him in the head and the heel pierced his eye and he fell into the pool and drowned. And, you know, now there's a wet spot in front of the hotel room door where he staggered back to make his apologies. I mean, there's so many stories about love gone wrong in that building. And so it's an easy conclusion to come to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Donna and Dave, I think we should take another caller, see if we have any more questions, because we're getting to the close of the show, and I want to get some information about where everybody can contact you and everything after the caller. So, Fiona,
absolutely.
Do we have another call?
Yeah, we've got Fiona, okay. Yeah, I'm just getting, so this is a Skype caller, so that I've got 11111. So, hello?
Okay.
Are you on there? Hello. What's your name?
My name's Josh.
And,
Josh, how are you? Well, all right. So I'd like a mini reading, if that's possible.
Okay. What would you like
Where
to
you?
Know, Josh?
Do what?
Sorry, Fiona. Go ahead, Fiona.
Josh, where are you calling from, Josh?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. Okay.
And what would you like to know, Josh?
All right. So there's a bit of a backstory behind this. Some time ago, I accepted the fact that I'm an empath, right? that I absorb other people's emotions,
yeah.
In a sense. And ever since that, I've been feeling others' emotions a lot more strongly, and it's kind of overwhelming. And I don't know what I can do to control it or protect myself from all that.
Well, I'm going to let Donna tell you what to do about that. She knows what to do about that, don't you, Donna?
Yeah. Hey, Josh, how are you, darling?
I'm good. You?
Good. Thank you. You know, I always tell folks, and thank you for acknowledging and understanding that you are gifted. Empath is a double-edged sword. It makes you open to other people so you can help other people. But once you take their problem, so to speak, if you don't release that problem, then you kind of carry that around. And if you're the go-to person for lots of folks who have some challenges, then you carry a lot of things around with you. So Dave and I often suggest that you put up a wall or a big protective bubble. What I like to do is draw Mother Earth through my feet, and I draw God in through the top, and then I wrap myself in a big protective white light before I start my day or when I interact with somebody. But what I also do is I cut the tie. When people speak with us, there is that invisible energy band that goes back and forth of communications. So you have to cut the tie with that person when you're finished with them. They feel better because they have released, and being an empath, you've done your job to take away their pain or their sorrow or maybe their trouble for the day, but then you also have to release it too. So there is the physical act of doing that yourself by releasing that energy. And what I like to say is, I'm done with that energy. Take it, Mother Earth and God, and go do something beautiful with it. As I stated earlier, energy never leaves, it just changes form. So if you take the negative from them and send that away as something positive, that's helpful. I also wear tourmaline jewelry. It's a dark stone. It helps absorb negativity. And then I also carry a rose quartz, because rose quartz is a good stone for loving ourselves and loving others. So the main thing is protect yourself. Every day you get up, you get dressed. So get up and get dressed and put on your invisible armor that protects you from energies.
Hey, Josh, this is
All
Dave.
Right.
One of the things
Hi.
That I do, I do tarot readings in the store, and I did a very quick reading on you while Donna was explaining. And the past is governed over by the major arcana, the star, which makes sense. It's about coming into your own and having knowledge, particularly knowledge about faith and spirit. One of her feet is in the water, and that's a very feminine thing. It has to do with your ability to absorb information and for the things that you really truly want in life to become true. But the challenge for you is what's in the present, and it was the Six of Wands, and six is a card of communications. The wands deal with wand energy, the energy of fire, the element of fire, and that kind of energy deals with things like love, hate, anger, passion, intimacy, those kinds of things. But six is a card of communication, and what it means when you see it is an inability to communicate. So you've got these empathic skills, but when you pick up on things, you're really struggling with how to communicate about it. What is it that you know, and how do you tell people what it is that you know? So it's a little bit of a warning card, and what it's suggesting is as you grow into your skills, following the advice that Donna gave you, be cautious, be careful, but you do have to communicate. Unfortunately, you know, that's part of the gift of being an empath, is you've been given this unique skill by God or goddess or deity or universe, whatever it is that you believe in, Josh. But part of the responsibility of having that gift is to use it to communicate with others about things that they need to hear. You can't be direct and force yourself on others, but use good judgment and use good tact and figure out the way that you need to be able to communicate so you don't come across as, you know, the young fellow on the horse on the Six of Wands, which is arrogant. And people think, oh, my goodness, he thinks he knows more about me than I do. that's the big challenge that you have with this skill that you've got. So learn, teach yourself how to communicate, envelop yourself in white light, and you'll be fine.
Beautiful.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh, so much for calling in, honey. And I know Donna and Dave helped you. That was wonderful reading, guys. Thank you so much for that. So we're going to move
thank
on.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome, Josh.
And
bye,
listening, Josh. Bye.
Hi.
Okay. So, Josh? Okay, so he's off. Okay. So we're going to close out the show because we only have a few minutes to be able to do that. And I want Donna and Dave to be able to give any of the information they might want to give out, like, you know, where you can contact them for a reading. And also, where you can, where their store is exactly, so that you can go in and you can visit Alton, Illinois, and you can visit Donna and Dave and get to know them. They're great people. You'll have a blast, I guarantee it. Okay, so Donna, where can we reach you?
You can reach us via telephone at area code 618-717-0546. You can reach email at donna@itsrainingzen.com or dave@itsrainingzen.com. Carly is our shop manager, and she usually answers the phone. So if you're interested in readings or maybe booking an event at the hotel, like we just recently had a Haunted Roads Media Conference, our friend Troy Taylor, who is the author of Haunted Alton. We sell his books there, so it kind of gives you a smorgasbord of everything about Alton. He has conferences there. Rose has been so kind to join us for our semi-annual psychic fairs. We're going to have another one in October. I believe it's going to be October 20th. And Dave and I also do guided tours of the building, and we also do guided investigations as well. So if you like our Facebook page, it's under It's Raining Zen. And then also the Mississippi Hippie Shop, we also post all the clothes. The Raining Zen is the umbrella for the Facebook and the Instagram. So the clothing shop is tagged under there, and the Indigo Moon Shop is tagged under there as well. So, and when you're in town, we treat you just like your family. We show you all the good places to eat, get dessert, where to go if you got some time, some hotels. Am I leaving anything out?
Yeah, just drop by the Mineral Springs Hotel. It's at 301 East Broadway in Alton, Illinois. So when you get to the building, you'll know we're there because you'll see all of these wonderful, colorful flags flying out front of the building. And a big, gigantic flag. It's like 25 feet tall that says open. And just come on in, and we'll show you the shops. More importantly, though, we'll show you the building, and we'll point out some of the places that we talked about today, like the Jasmine Lady Staircase, and we'll say, just go back there and hang out for a minute and see what you feel. And if you want to go more in depth and take a tour of the building or investigate the building, we'll make arrangements for you to do that, too.
Oh, and
yeah,
and
it's always – go ahead, Donna.
Hey, Rose, and I thought I would have nothing to talk about. Dave and I were kind enough to be asked by our friend Mike Ricksteaker, who is actually owns Haunted Road Media, and he asked us to help him pen a book, and he was kind enough to donate some of his proceeds to help keep Mineral Springs up there. But Dave and I have about 60 pages of our stories.
30 pages, baby.
All right, 60 in my head. But 30 pages of our stories, and one of them does include the Jasmine Lady and Cassandra and, you know, a few other things that we experienced there. But, we love what we do. You know, I love Dave. It took us a long time for us both to let our guard down and share that we were both the same. So, you know, like I said, thank God for the millennials for making spirituality cool so we can all just put it out there and be our authentic self. Right, Rose?
I agree. That's a beautiful way to end this show, right? It's being authentic. I love that, Donna. Thank you. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I love your shop. I love Alton, Illinois, and I hope everybody will take us up on it and go visit. And I want to thank you, too, so much for being on the show. And You have to come back on again sometime. Matter of fact, you two need your own show.
I don't know about that.
I think you did great, right?
Thank you so much.
I do love you. And Fiona, do you have any closing thoughts or anything you want to say to Don and Dave?
Oh, well, I'm just totally fascinated. Now I'm thinking, like, I'm up in Canada. Now I'm thinking, wow, I need to come down and travel. It's on my one of my destination points now to go and check you guys out, because I think it sounds like a lot of fun, and you never know what you might experience there. So, yeah, thank you.
Well, we'd love to have you. I always say Alton. Come visit anytime you want, because Alton is a creepy, groovy kind of town.
It definitely is. It is all of that, actually. I was going to say, too, shout out to you and shout out to Two Hawks and all the wonderful people that Salande Mastatine, I always say her name wrong. All of them that come down and they do drummings and they do, you know, they have concerts down there. Don and Dave always keeps Mineral Springs active. There's always something great going on down there. It's so much fun. So, and everybody that comes down from Chicago, you know, all the mediums and psychics that come down for the psychic fairs, and they end up staying, and we have a blast down there. There's just so much to do. Great restaurants, great places to go, and great people to meet, like Don and Dave. So thank you again, guys, for being on the show. And like I said, we're going to have to do this another time, right? And I love you.
All right, love you guys. Thank you again.
All right, you have a great day. And thanks to all our listeners out there. Keep listening. Our show, we will be off on hiatus for about 2 months. We will be back the first week of August. First Tuesday in August. So just keep listening and know that we didn't get to your call today. There's shows on every day of the week, and you can call in and get a reading from anybody on the show. So just keep listening, and thank you all for listening. And we will be back in August. And you know what? It's always a party with spirit. Right, Fiona? Right, Donna Days?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Always.
Great show. Loved it.
Bye-bye.
Great show.